Matthew 16, let's begin verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some that thou art Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Praise God. Amen. For just a few minutes of time, I don't feel like my voice can hold out too long, but amen. For a few minutes of time, I want to just expound to us about the favor of God. Amen. The favor of God. Father, we need you tonight. Need your spirit. We need your inspiration to come here today. I am praying, God, that an enlightenment would come upon us today to help us to understand the importance of all of this, God, and how much that we have to have it. This is not just a desire of ours, but Lord God, it is a necessity that we have. I pray, God, that you would help us here tonight. Speak to us, deal with us, Lord, and we will be quick to give you the glory. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise God. This mysterious yet marvelous thing, organism that is known as the church, is a concept that is, we talked about it a couple of services ago, and that it is mysterious. Amen. It is mysterious. Praise God. It is mysterious in that this is an organism. It is alive. It's not an organization like some people would like to tell you that it is an organization. It is an organism. It is alive. It is alive. The blood of Jesus Christ is still very, very effective and very, very powerful. Amen. And we are very, very appreciative of that. But when Jesus mentioned this to his disciples, and he talking about, you know, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, finally, Peter would say, "Thou art the Christ." And Jesus replied back to him and said, "You are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church." Praise God. And that's where I want to focus the emphasis upon this. This is the first time the word church is used. It will be used some 76 times more throughout Scripture. A lot of it in Acts, and then obviously there in Corinthians and beyond Corinthians. Amen. As the Lord was speaking unto the church, Paul writing unto the church, and with references and tell it the church. Obviously, there is revelations when the Lord said unto the church of Philadelphia, Thyatira, Sardis, and so on. It was unto the church. But this is the first reference that is given here. And the emphasis that is put upon it is, he said, it is my church. Praise God. And it's something that we need to bear in mind and to remember that this is not just a church. This is not just a congregating of individuals. But we are the people that are filling his church. Praise God. His church. Praise God. The body. Amen. And so even though that it was a mysterious concept unto him, in that he would speak to them and just simply just throw it out there and saying, upon this rock I will build my church. And they probably understanding the word that he used there, and it would mean a calling out to come together, a congregating. They did not know all that it entailed, but they could probably imagine some. They were familiar with synagogue. They were familiar with temple worship. They were familiar with these things, but the word church, not necessarily so much there. And so it would be, question asked is, who would feel this church? Who would feel the body of the church? And we know that it would simply be just the common individual, just the ordinary individual, but yet still the emphasis is upon my church. Amen. My church. My church. Amen. In other words, it's personal. He's taking things extremely personal. He is investing himself into it. We know that he would invest his life into it, and the blood that we would give for the purchasing of the church, that he bought the church with his own blood. Amen. Peter, Paul would write in later in the book of Acts, or Luke would write it, but Paul would tell them, he said, amen, that the Lord purchased the church with his own blood. Amen. And so he said, I'm going to build my church. And so we would see that in reality that God's church is made up of imperfect people. Amen. The disciples that were there could testify and say that the people, that the church of God was made up of imperfect people. They would look around at the tinkerers and the tent makers and the seamstresses and all of those other people, and they would say it's just common people, but yet it is ordinary and imperfect people. And some 2,000 years later, it just seems to be the same, that the church is made up of ordinary yet imperfect people. Imperfection, though, is not an excuse or justification for sinfulness. Amen. The word perfect just simply holds the quality of without imperfections. Amen. Because that it is perfect. And to be imperfect does not mean that I can't be without sin, but rather that I am capable of sin. And so no justification or excuse is used for sin. Amen. As Paul would write to the Romans in chapter number 6, and there in Romans, and he would simply say that shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For how that we are dead to sin live any longer therein. Amen. And so there is no excuse. There is no justification for sin. Amen. But just simply the fact that we need to live our lives to the best of our abilities. Amen. To stay without sin. And we know that we cannot do it perfectly, and we've talked about that, and I'm not going to go there. But we just need to recognize that the children of Israel, that the children of God are not necessarily perfect people. Amen. But amen, we are forgiven. Praise God. We are forgiven. Amen, amen. And we could look back at the children of Israel and we could see that they as well were not perfect. Amen. Psalm 78 and 37, the Bible says concerning them that their heart was not right with God, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all of his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Amen. I thank God that he remembers that we are but flesh, and he is not holding us to the state of perfection. That's why that he is the propitiation, the sacrifice, the atonement for our sins, and we are placed in his church. But he he does have a responsibility, amen, that is resting upon his church. He does have requirements that are for his church. He always has, amen, just the simple fact of who he is. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The plan, the Logos, the plan has requirements. Just like any building that is being built is going to have to come under the auspices of a building code. Amen. The church has a code that is set up. Amen. And God is saying, look, if you're going to be a part of my church, then this is the way that it's got to be. If you're going to be a part of my body, if you want my protection, if you want my miracles, if you want my power, if you want my healing, if you want my abilities, then this is what's got to happen. Amen. He let this be even when the children of Israel came out of the wilderness, when they were set free from the land of Egypt. He began to tell them, amen, that if they would do this, then he would do, amen, whatever that it was. But he held some things. He held their feet to the fire. He made him do some things. I can just imagine as they began to ponder, I thought that we were free. I thought that we had been set free. And there were some demands, amen, that was going to sustain the abilities and the power of God. We know these demands oftentimes are referred to as the Ten Commandments. Amen. And the Lord said, look, if you don't do this, then I will do this. He said, if you'll obey these commandments, if you'll hear my voice and obey my word and obey my commandments, then I will. Amen. And so they had to get that revelation that I don't just simply get to be a part of the body of Christ, a part, amen, of God, and just get to do my thing. Amen. And just God ought to be just pleased that I've shown up. God ought to be just pleased that I am here. God is simply saying, look, this is the way that it is. If you want manna in the morning, you better follow wherever the fire goes at night. If you want manna in the morning, you better follow if the cloud starts moving by day. If you want manna, if you want power, if you want provision, then you better go where the presence of God is. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And so it's the fact that God does not need perfection to accomplish his will. It's not ability, but rather the availability of people to do his will. Amen. I began to pair the church in the book of Acts to the churches that we find in the book of Revelations. And I'm not going to go down through them independently and compare them. But when you do compare them, you see a direct opposite reflection of each other in their parts. When you begin to compare the churches in Revelations, amen, you can see what they should have been in the book of Acts. There is a complete opposite reaction to what was happening in the book of Revelations. And so my assessment is simply that we see that the churches that are mentioned in the book of Revelations, I want you to get this. The main problem that they had, and I lump it together, but if I had to divide it into two things, the problem that they had is that they did not recognize there was a problem. Therefore, and that's why I put them as one, therefore, they did nothing about the problem. In the book of Acts, you do not see that. The churches that are in Revelations are stuck in their problems, even though they don't perceive that it is a problem. But the book of Acts is progressive and pushing through. And like I said, you can compare them, amen, and you can see that the first church he began to speak to, the church that is in Ephesus, he said, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. They didn't recognize that, so they didn't do anything about that. But what we see is a progressive church in the book of Acts. And I know that it was a newer church, but they are committed to keeping the flame of love going. And in doing so, revival abounds and blossoms. Amen. And they have tremendous revival. 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 multitudes. Amen. And they are continuing to keep that. Amen. So they did not allow the first love to diminish. The fearing God happened instead of fearing people. They stood against false doctrine. They were not fruitless. They were not feeble. They were not fashionable like Laodicea was. They were not content, but they continued to remain hungry, even though they had seen such extravagant and dramatic things happen. They never became satisfied. They never became full. On the day of Pentecost, it started with 120. 120 turned to 3,000. And some would say, man, if we had 3,000 get the Holy Ghost, we could be happy. They weren't. They had to see somebody else. 5,000 receive the Holy Ghost. That didn't stop them. They didn't become content. They didn't become lethargic. They kept pushing. Multitudes received the Holy Ghost. They didn't stop. They kept praying. They kept fasting. They kept pushing. And great crowds turned to God because they continued to be progressive. Didn't stop. They didn't stop. They didn't stop. They just continued on. And surely, even as Jesus would say, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Let me just pastor here for a while. Sometimes I wonder if our hunger and our thirst after righteousness has diminished because of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. When we used to have to trust Him for every red penny that came across the table, amen, to pay every little bill. When we used to have to trust Him, amen, that the car would start the next day. When we used to have to trust Him with our health in sickness and such, amen, we were prayerful. We were intent to make sure that we were fasting. But now that we don't have to trust Him as much as we used to, now we got insurance. Now we've got better jobs. Now we've got finer vehicles. Now we've got this and now we've got that. And there's just no need to trust. I want you to know, I want to go back to the basics. I want the favor of God to be upon me. I want the favor of God to be upon my house. I want the favor of God to be upon my family. And I want the favor of God to be upon the church. How are we going to get it? You say, Pastor, have we lost it? I'm here to tell you we're living below where God really wants us to be. It's not His will that any should perish. It is His will that all should come to repentance. It's the will of God that somebody often receive the Holy Ghost. Somebody often is baptized. Amen. God needs a church that'll go back to the basics. Amen. And be what He needs them to be so that He can do what He needs to do. Praise God. I found myself this week praying and seeking God and asking God just simply, God, where did I go wrong? Where did I go wrong? Where did I make a wrong step? Where did I turn the wrong direction? You see, I went back into the records, and I saw that in 21, we had a lot of people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 22, we had a lot of people receive the Holy Ghost. 23, we had a few people receive the Holy Ghost. 24, it hasn't been so great. I understand that some of the newness has wore off. I understand. I was talking with the preacher, amen, even today. And he said, you know, Brother Cowan, he said, we are pretty much in the same boat. He said, I've been here. He said, it was about 2.5 to 3 years into it. It just seemed like things come to a grinding stop. And you say that the honeymoon phase is over. And so you say, well, you know what? We're going to have to rekindle some fires. We got to rekindle some fires, but we got to go back to the basics. We got to go back to the basics. And what were we doing? We started prayer. Amen. I'm not condemning anything, but we started prayer meeting on Tuesday nights. Amen. We started praying. Amen. We had some all-night prayer meetings, or we had until we prayed till after midnight. We had prayer chains that was going on and such. Amen. We had fasting days that we began to fast. Amen. And I'm just telling you today, you're more blessed today than you were when I first got here. And it's not because of me. It's because of what you did. Your actions, your faithfulness to God. God blessed you. God helped you. God multiplied. God put his hand upon you. I want to go back to that place. It doesn't matter how much money I make. It doesn't matter what kind of vehicles I drive. It's not about our vehicles and money. It's about another soul that'll come to an altar and repent. It's about another soul that'll go into a baptistry tank and be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's what it's about. I also know that we hit the ground running. Amen. And we were flying at a high rate of speed, and it may have taken the devil 2.5 to 3 years to catch up. Praise God. But let's kick in the turbos and the afterburners and let's do it again. I want the favor of God. I do not consider it just simply a coincidence, amen, that as I was praying, that this topic, this subject came to mind about the favor of God. And I don't know, maybe I just need to jump ahead and just be finished tonight. I don't know. Amen. Just let me do it. Let me just jump ahead. Praise God. Amen. And we jump ahead to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And when we begin to read there at verse number 12, the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Well, that's the first thing. Somebody's got to be praying. No, we can't just assume a position. We got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray until we get in the Holy Ghost and pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, I know that a few weeks ago you heard me pray, you heard me preaching about prayer. Amen. And according to 1 Corinthians 14, and Paul began to talk and he began to say, you know what? He said, if we're having a regular, now this is the way it is. He said, if we're having a regular public worship service and everybody in there is talking in tongues and a sinner comes in, he's going to think that everybody is mad. And so he's saying, use wisdom and discretion. But there is a time when the Spirit of God moves in, amen, that we've got to be submissive to the Spirit of God. But friend, that's got to happen at prayer meeting. Amen. That's designed when the saints gather together to pray. Amen. This is why you need private prayer meeting. This is why you need private time to pray. That you can pray some things out of your spirit and pray some things into your spirit. But friend, when we come to the house of God, even on a Tuesday night, it's time to plug in. It's time to pray until hell begins to shake. And hell begins to turn loose, and all of heaven comes down. I am not saying that we ought not to get in the spirit, amen, on a public worship service like Sunday morning, Sunday night, amen, or Wednesday night, amen. We just need to use, amen, some discretion about some things, amen. We need to pray. I believe that we can pray and touch heaven in a language that is known and a language that is unknown, but there's got to be a connection. That is the most, you cannot just be sitting here just babbling words and thinking about work, babbling words and thinking about home. There's got to be a connection. Praise God. And if it doesn't mean that, then why did Paul put it in the Bible? There's purpose. There's a purpose for that. But the Lord told Solomon, he said, I heard your prayer. And I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Do you see what's happening right there? He said, you are going to have to recognize that there's a problem. And the longer you go without recognizing there's a problem, the more trouble there's going to be. Somewhere or another, you got to walk out and you got to recognize, well, wait a second, we haven't had a rainstorm in quite a while. Somewhere or another, you're going to have to recognize, you're going to have to walk out and say, whoa, when did the locusts get here? Somewhere or another, we are going to have to recognize, well, wait a second, this is a pestilence. He said, if I shut up heaven, there be no rain, command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, you're going to have to fix the problem. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, tie that back into Matthew 16 and 18. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall, number one, humble themselves, number two, pray, number three, seek his face, number four, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. He said, but as of right now, my eyes shall be open, my ears shall attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever and ever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. God heard the prayer of Solomon. God honored it, but it was up to Solomon to notice, hey, something's wrong. It was up to Solomon to walk through and to see some things, amen, weren't quite right. And so even this week as I began to pray and this began to prick my heart, amen, the favor of God, I stopped and I realized, whoa, wait a second. Are we living in a land without the favor of God? Or are we living in a land where the favor of God has removed itself to an extent? Are we living in a place that the favor of God, amen, is beginning to move? Amen. And we got to recognize it as soon as we can. There's going to be people that are going to come into this place. They need a red hot church. They need a church that knows how to pray. They need a church that knows how to worship. Why? They're bound. They're bound by sin. They're bound by problems. They're bound in their emotions. They're bound by their addictions. They're bound by the devil. They're bound by their family. They are living in chains and fetters of iron, even as the demoniac was bound and evil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even though that he was broken loose, there were still fetters upon him that reminded him, I'm not as free as I sure would like to be. He comes in a church, and the church has got to be able to possess the power through the favor of God, that God says, this is the place that I'm going to pour out my miracles. This is the place that I'm going to save souls. This is the place that I'm going to deliver this city from. Oh God, hear our prayers and answer our call today. Let's stand. Oh. Oh. Jesus. I would like to say that favor is never demanded. We cannot demand the favor of God to be upon us. But you know what? He did say, if you will, I will. He did say, if you'll humble yourself and pray, seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then I will. I want nothing outside of the will of God. And I'm not afraid of anything within the will of God. I want His favor. And if you notice in that passage of Scripture, He said, if they will humble themselves and seek my face. Friend, when you've got the favor of the face of God, you'll have the power of His hands. And too many times we're seeking His hands, His abilities. God, do this. God, do that. God, it's like the child that's coming before the dad. Dad, you got $5. Dad, you got $1. Dad, you got $20. Dad, you got some money. Dad, you got this. Dad, I'm hungry. Dad, I want this. Dad, I need this. Dad, I got this. So, you know, the only time I ever see you is when you need something. The only time I ever hear you is when you need something. But if you flip that around, if you flip that around and you seek His face and you get His favor, you can tell instantly by looking at somebody whether you have their favor, by observing their countenance. Read in the Bible and you will see where the Bible said that their countenance changed. They were really happy until something happened all of a sudden. Their facial expressions changed. And everybody recognized that and said, whoa, what happened? Something just happened. We don't have the favor of God. I was evangelizing back in 2007. We were having church service was going very well. Music was playing. Songs were being sung. People were worshiping. All of a sudden, the music, I won't say all of a sudden, but when the music stopped, obviously the music, the worship just died. The music would start and the worship would start. But there was something that happened. And when the pastor dismissed the platform, people got off of the platform and they walked away. And I was sitting there and just meditating on the Lord. I felt something. There was a complete shift. There was a complete shift. And I thought to myself, whoa, 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 wait a second. Something just happened. What happened? What happened? And so quickly I began to think about it. You know what? All we've done is we just stopped singing. We just stopped. The music stopped. The people on the platform just quit. They just got off. They just So when I stepped to the pulpit, I said, you know, something just transpired. Something just happened a few minutes ago. There was a shift in the service. There was something that changed. And then I got revelation. I said, it didn't change. The mask was pulled off. There was a facade. There was a facade of worship. And what happened is, as the musicians and stuff walked off, it went with them. We got reality. And I said, the Spirit of God is grieved. We could feel the grieving of the Spirit that was there. You know, in a nutshell, what it come down to was, if it ain't coming out of my smoke, if it ain't coming out of my stack, it ain't smoke. It was like, okay, preacher, we did our part. Let's see if you're good enough to do your part. And things began to transform and began to transpire in that church. But somewhere or another, we had to recognize something's not right. What am I saying? We can play faster music. We can play louder music. We can practice longer. And we can perform better. And we'll still never have the favor of God. It's not in music. I want the best music. It's not in singing in songs. I want to sing the best songs. But it's not in how much noise we make. It's in humbling ourselves and seeking His face. Seeking His face. I'm not going to be bound by any type of talent. I don't care if they can come in here and make the whole world dizzy when they sing. I didn't say sick, just dizzy. It's not about that. It's about the favor of God. Because when God's favor is here, let me just go back and say, when the favor of God was upon Israel, nobody could touch them. Nobody could touch them. Balak stood over, is it Barak? Barak, whichever one, I don't remember now. Somebody help me. He stood over the overlook looking at the children of Israel, and he told Balaam, or he told Barak, he said, I can't curse them. I can't curse them. So the favor of God is upon them. And Balak said, come over here. And he took him to another place. And he said, look at them from a different perspective. Take a look at things from this angle. Now curse them. Balaam sat there and looked at him. And he started praying blessings. And Balak got mad and threw a temper and threw stuff on the ground and cursed Balaam. Said, I brought you here to curse them, and you're blessing them. He simply said, I can't curse what God is blessing. So he said, come over here. Let's look at a third place. Look at it from this side. Now curse them. And we know the story. Balaam said, I can't do it. But I can tell you how you can do it. And what you've got to do is you simply have to get the favor of God off of them. And when you get the favor of God off of them, they'll curse themselves. How am I going to do that? Take your flusy looking women and parade them by their young men and cause them to commit fornications, and the blessings of God will be removed off of them. So I'm simply going back to the place. If the favor of God is upon us, the devil can't defeat us. If the favor of God is upon us, I'm not going to say we can't do any wrong, because we can. But the enemy cannot overcome us. Why don't you break it down individually? When the favor of God is upon you, when the favor of God is upon your house, the enemy cannot defeat. So he's got to bring in temptations, and he's got to woo you out from under the favor of God. I want the favor of God. I want the favor of God. And I will do whatever I've got to do to get the favor of God. I've set down the entire platform before, going back to the basics to find out, God, where did I go wrong? Where did I make a mistake? It's not choices. A lot of times it's just simple direction. But the quicker we notice it, the faster we can get back under the favor of God. Is that where you want to be? Is that where you really want to be? It's not about all the frivolous things of life. I personally believe that my prayer matters for me and for my household. And my prayer matters as a part of this church. But my prayer also matters to every locked up individual that is in this city, in this county. As their soul and their spirits cry out, is there help somewhere? And there's a war that's going on in the spirit. I pray that there's not a church that's sleeping in Laodicea saying, I have need of nothing. I got all kinds of goods. I've got all kinds of things increased with goods and riches and wealth, and I have need of nothing. But I pray that there is a church, amen, that is highly favored and blessed of God, that will not be content. Amen. You've had the Holy Ghost for 50 years, but you're not content. You've had the Holy Ghost for 12 years, but you're not content. You're going back and renewing it again and again and again and again. Why? I want the favor of God. I want the favor of God. Why do you always have to pray? I want the favor of God. Why are you fasting once a week? I want the favor of God. Why do you come to church and act the way that you act? I want the favor of God. Amen. Why are you always going to church? We want the favor of God. What does going to church have to do with it? There's a spiritual battle that is going on, and we got to see more folks saved. Amen. We've got to be saved. I want the favor of God. Amen. And he said, amen, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you. He said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. I want his favor. I want his favor. I want his favor. Mary, you're highly favored of God. She was troubled in her mind, and the angel said, fear not. You've just got the favor of God. And she probably thought to herself, oh, this is so wonderful. Mary, the favor of God is going to change your life forever. Mary, you're going to be ridiculed, judged, critiqued, lied about, talked about, and I'm going to change the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you dress. But your favor with God, it's not even going to get you a room in an inn somewhere, but just a stable out in the back. But Mary, what you're going to have, amen, is a baby, and that baby is going to summon the shepherds and the wise men and the kings and astound the government by his words and change the entire world because of the favor that you've got. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. Praise God. Man, the altars are open here tonight. Amen. Would you come submit yourself to say, God, I want your favor. Here's where it starts. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. Humble themselves. Not proud, not arrogant, conceited, humbled. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then things are going to change. Things are going to happen. Amen. There's going to be change in the atmosphere. There's going to be change. Amen. There's going to be change. There's going to be change. God, I want your favor. God, I want your favor.